Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. I don't know where to start. I've been mulling this over because it was one of those weekends. I don't know people that mull stuff, but I just use that term. Been thinking about the show. As the weekend progressed, I was able to decompress some and get away, but not much, because when you have a weekend and you have a Sunday in particular that begins with, it's the Cardinal game against Buffalo, when you wake up, that is what your day is going to look like. You're going to watch that, consume that, think about it. That it's Vin Scully's final game as voice of the LA Dodgers at home. Those were the two overarching stories in my mind as I'm sitting there early Sunday morning in my, it's my old time hanging out in the back patio. And then Jose Fernandez's story comes down. And then you have Les Miles getting fired. And then you have the death of Arnold Palmer. And you're sitting there looking at all of them and saying, how can I make sense of everything that is going on? So we have a lot to get to on today's show. Well, Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Always good to catch up with Paula. We'll have her for News and Notes. That comes up here in a little bit. Today in town, just for those of you that watch every day and what is going on out there. So the Suns today are back at it. The Suns start their media day today. I don't know if they're going to be any good, if they're going to stink. I don't know. Vegas thinks they're going to stink. I tend to think they're not going to be very good. However, I think they're better. They're going in the right direction, even if that direction has not had any arrows the last 5 years. I think they're going in somewhat the right direction. So that's going on today. And Bruce Arians is scheduled to meet with the media this afternoon. That ought to be interesting, because Bruce should let them have it. So that's coming up today as well. And then tonight I'm going to watch the debate. I don't know. The numbers for the debate tonight, with Trump and Clinton finally going head-to-head, are expected to be in excess of 100 million people. So if you're one of those that says, I don't care, you're one of the very few. This is Super Bowl-esque numbers. So that's going on tonight. So let's get you started with what is on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Subway. Subway, think Subway. And off the top of my head, I can tell you that Subway, you can eat fresh, you can cater your lunches, your business functions. The holidays are coming up. Think Subway. Subway, eat fresh. Appreciate Subway and their support. All right. Eric, where do you want me to go on this? I mean, we talked about this a little bit this morning. What is the overarching story to you from the weekend of everything that's out there?
Oh, man.
Everything.
I still think people are buzzing about the Cardinals game yesterday.
They should be waking up.
Well, if they would have gone and played really well and lost a close game with the Bills playing out of their mind, that might be an acceptable excuse. But when you go on the road and you have no chance of winning the game from the first quarter on against a team that is playing with so much desperation.
Yeah.
Because you can count on one hand how many teams in the NFL have made the playoffs starting 0-3. That would be zero. For the Cardinals to go and lay an egg, now it's all the red flags and all the concerns and all the hype and all the buildup. I mean, now it's, okay, you and I talked on this show. We just need to get to the playoffs. Today, as we sit right here, it's, are they going to make the playoffs? That's a very fair question to ask.
But, I was one that, I've been negative on this whole hype buildup stuff. And I don't think this has anything to do with Steve Keim. I think it has a little bit to do with Bruce. I'm absolving Keim from everything except for Cameron Kanaday.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. How can you keep those same long snapper around? Like, the story today in town, the person I want to hear from, believe it or not, is the long snapper. Because I know what Carson Palmer is going to say. We have to do better. Carson Palmer's not going to open up and say, hey, by the way, Michael Floyd screwed up on one route, and David Johnson screwed up on another route, and he's not going to do that.
And I think we're going to get an email, maybe even before the end of this show, from the Cardinals. Cardinals make roster moves.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of emails you get on Mondays and Tuesdays in the Cardinal season. So you may not even have the opportunity to talk to that long snapper because he may already have
He's gone. They dropped him off somewhere between Buffalo and here. They pulled off in Kansas City and said, get out. Get off the plane. That kid has gotten more airtime. If you think back, the Sunday night game, they showed him. They showed him last week. I remember it vividly. They showed him last week in the Tampa Bay game. And Tommy got on his case during the Tampa Bay game about a bad snap. And then, you know, yesterday they keep showing him and you can't do the job. Mike Leach isn't here. That's the guy that is public enemy number one. Number two, everybody's going to beat on Carson Palmer today. And yeah, you know what? To me, he does look slower. I sat here after the Carolina game at the Combine. I went directly to Keim and Bruce in Indianapolis and said, what are you doing about your quarterback situation? We talked about it at the draft. What are you doing about your quarterback situation? Now we're sitting here three games in, and Carson Palmer looks old. He does. Here's the other side of the coin. Okay? It is the end of September. They are 1-2. Carolina's 1-2. Minnesota's 3-0, and they've lost their quarterback, their running back, their left tackle. They're 3-0, and oh, by the way, their wins are pretty impressive. I don't get wound up at the end of September about whether or not the team is going to make it to the postseason or not. I don't. And Eric, I could be wrong on that, but to make a blanket statement about where they are and that I know the numbers aren't very good, they aren't promising. I'm not disappointed about yesterday. Here's the thing. That game was just awful, and it was awful on both sides. That was still a game till about a minute to go. The Cardinals had so many chances against a bad team. The people are like, oh, my gosh, did you see the final score and everything? It's like Carson threw a pick on his last four drives going into the end zone. That's 28 points. And yeah, he could have been picked off even more than that. Buffalo could not salt the game away. They couldn't.
But I do have to disagree with you. I think that was definitely a disappointing game. You know why?
It was an awful game.
Well, you know why it was so disappointing? Because it followed the script of the old Arizona Cardinals. Oh, they're going back east. Oh, it's an early game. Yeah. Oh, they're playing a team they should beat. And guess what? Every single one of those stereotypes played out. They came out flat. They couldn't do anything offensively. The defense could not stop the zone read, which Bruce Arians said they talked about all week. Tyrod Taylor, 50-yard run. That should not happen in the NFL. That's a college play.
But here's the thing. I'm not excusing them. But I'm not sitting here on the 26th of September saying the sky is falling. The sky is not as clear, obviously. It's not as crystal clear, okay?
And the NFC West is so wide open. I mean, it's not – right now there is no dominant team.
But I'll disagree with you a little bit on just when you say NFC West, okay? Did you have Philly 3-0 out of the gate with Carson Wentz?
No.
Is Dallas better with Dak Prescott?
Maybe, but again, their sample size. Like, the Bears are a bad team. Like,
I got you.
You know,
I got you.
They played the Giants at home and lost.
And they may lose. And they may lose Dez.
Yeah,
I got you. But as I'm looking at over in the NFC, if I look at the NFC West, do I think that more than one team is going to make it out of the NFC West this year?
No.
Is my point. That's my point. So you've got to get past Seattle. You have the Rams this week here. The Rams had a game in Tampa Bay that got delayed by lightning, and they sat around and they hung on and they got a win with Case Keenum. I was hoping to see Jared Goff this week. But and they have a hard time against the Rams. The Rams defense gets after. Carson took some shots yesterday. He took some shots. But my overarching thing on this is you guys are the ones that built this thing up. You're the ones that told us it's all or nothing, and so far it's been nothing. All I hear about is all or nothing. That's all I heard about the whole offseason, all or nothing. I'm right on that, too. That's all I heard. All or nothing, all or nothing, all or nothing. And so this morning, yeah, my inbox is filled with Bruce Arians can't coach. And what's he doing kicking a 60-yard field goal? And why couldn't they find a long snapper? And Carson can't play and all. So everybody's looking for someone to get after. And in my space, I look at it and say, what you just said, Eric, about the defense and the zone read, The defense yesterday didn't play well. The special teams yesterday weren't special. The offense was inconsistent. So you add it all up, it's a bad, 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 bad loss. This does feel like a loss back in the Wiz era. And knowing how things work over at the Cardinals through the years, Michael's going to start stomping on some people. That's going to happen. That is going to happen. You know, Michael's been in every shot of every postgame locker room when everything is great. And Michael strikes me, Michael Bidwell, as I've seen him through the years of when things, and I've heard stories through the years, lots of stories, and not from disgruntled former employees, just people. That when things don't go well, he lets them have it. And I can imagine that this morning there's some of that going on. You lose to the Rams next week. You drop 3 of 4 after all or nothing and all this big talk. You know, that's not going to work with that owner. It's just not. And you can't just overreact on all this. You can't sit here and fire everybody and say, all these guys stink and get them out of here. This is what is. I was very concerned about Carson and the extension. I was very concerned they didn't go out and try to find a quarterback for the future. And so far, I think my concerns have been valid. You can point to Carson's quarterback rating. You can stat me to death. People that want to just go to stats don't want to look at the reality of the situation. He wasn't great against New England. I don't care what his numbers show. Tampa Bay is horrible, capital H. Yesterday against Buffalo, his guys ran the wrong routes on a couple of occasions, but he still wasn't good. I don't like excuse making, and I think that there's probably going to be some of that. The Jose Fernandez story, you know, when I saw that yesterday and I thought about Pedro, that's one that, as the show moves on this morning, I need to circle back on that. Because yesterday we lost Arnold Palmer. And Arnold Palmer was much more than a golfer and much more than just somebody in a period of time. There's a lot of stuff around Arnold Palmer. I'm going to get to that on the other side. We've got a lot of college football to get to. And Les Miles, just see you later. And Notre Dame fired the defensive coordinator too. So you don't have any shelf life in college football anymore. On the other side, though, we'll talk about Arnold Palmer and Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes. On a Monday, I'm Brad Sussmat. A60AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. We'll have Paula Bovin in about 10 minutes. And she's down at Suns Media Day. So yesterday we had two stories of just one was just tragic, and the other was just flat sad. That's the only way to put it. Jose Fernandez fled Cuba, rescued his mom, not knowing that it was his mom who'd fallen out of the boat when he left Cuba, escaped Cuba. $200 million contract, power arm, power cable. I mean, he was just one of those guys that had everything going for him. And so Jose Fernandez gets killed in this boating accident. This guy was the 2013 NL Rookie of the Year. And we don't know yet, other than the boat hit the jetty at a high rate of speed. We don't know if there was alcohol involved. The agencies are saying that there was not. Okay, but they've not done the toxicology test. They've not done the autopsy. Fernandez died of trauma, not drowning. We know that. We know that his girlfriend is pregnant with a daughter. And we know that's just one of the saddest stories that we've seen. When I see grown men, Eduardo Perez yesterday morning on ESPN was sobbing. Pedro looked like he was close to losing it yesterday and today. Well, Pedro with us later in the week. So that story happened yesterday morning. And as I'm processing that and just hearing all the tributes and thinking, I remember Luis Gonzalez talking about Jose Fernandez. We're down on the field. And there was a time where the Diamondbacks were trying to get involved with Jose Fernandez, if we remember correctly, that they were wanting to get in on him. And I'm sure Luis today is devastated by it. Then we had Vin Scully's final game as voice of the Dodgers that I was looking forward to yesterday and watching that and hearing about that. And then I heard Arnold Palmer passed away. And Arnold Palmer, for those of you that may not know, give me somebody else, someone else who has a drink named after them in sports. I don't know, Eric, you had a drink named after you? Is it the Sorensen? I'm not on the pay grade of Arnold Palmer.
Whatever drink will be named after me probably won't taste nearly as good as the Arnold Palmer. It's one of my favorites.
Do you know the story on the Arnold Palmer? It was his wife who poured him a glass of tea, and he said this is a little too much, and he put some lemonade in it. I did an interview with him, did a couple interviews with Arnold Palmer. He won here in Phoenix 3 times. But more importantly about Arnold Palmer than all this stuff, he was a true gentleman from every corner of the face of the planet. And when I dealt with him those few times, when you turn the camera off or turn the microphone off, he was the same person. He wasn't one of these guys. There's phonies all over the place. He was one of these guys that was just very straightforward and they're very nice, I thought. He also founded the Golf Channel. So Kyle Ng is with us. So Kyle is someone that we've had on the show a few weeks ago from Arizona United, and he sold that off. And Kyle, in his history here in Phoenix, was head of PR over at Fox Sports Arizona, but he also was on the ground floor of the Golf Channel. Did Arnold Palmer hire you directly?
Well, he was part of the – I sat in an interview with him, yes. So he – and that was in Orlando. It was 1993, and it was just a vision and a dream for Mr. Palmer and his business partner, a guy named Joseph Gibbs out of Birmingham, and they said, we're going to create this 24-hour network, and it's going to be devoted entirely to golf. And we're looking for a PR guy. We think you're it. And I said, I'm in. Let's go. And what a legacy he lives. I was thinking the same thing since I grew up in Southern California, listening to Vin Scully and hearing his last game, and then hearing the sad news of Mr. Palmer's passing. And the legacy he left behind and the people he touched. And always got a couple of stories, Brad, that he always wanted to make people feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would go on the road. This is before the Golf Channel even launched. We'd go around and we're talking to cable operators and we're talking to municipalities so they could add the Golf Channel onto their lineup. And so we'd go out and play with, you know, sports writers and council people and things like that. And I just remember distinctly one time where we had this sports writer in this town in Ohio, and he was, you know, the big shot, you know, columnist there. He was just having a horrible day of golf. Every ball he was hitting, he was topping it, going 3 and 5 yards and not clearing the hazards and things like that. And about the sixth hole, Mr. Palmer said, sir, you know how many dimples are on a golf ball? He said, there's 336, and for the last 5 shots, you've hit 2 of them. And that's really hard to do. So made him feel really comfortable. He said, you couldn't hit 2 dimples on a golf ball if you tried. So he said, just relax. And the guy started playing better. But just another great anecdote of how Mr. Palmer always wanted to make people just feel more comfortable. But I always, the other story I remember, we were launching in we launched January 1995. And there's a big cable operator show called NCTA and was in Dallas that year. And so we had this suite, and one side of the suite was all the cable operators, and Mr. Palmer had a nice meeting with them and thanking them for launching the Golf Channel. And then on the other side of the suite, with an adjoining door, I was in there with all the media, and we were waiting for Mr. Palmer to come over. And so I was doing this introduction. Hi, I'm Kyle Ng. I'm the head of PR for the Golf Channel. And I introduced Mr. Palmer, and Mr. Palmer said, gentlemen, thank you for being here, but I'm going to correct Kyle. I'm the head of PR for the Golf Channel. And I'll never forget that story. So those two things are just what a delight. I mean, and just the iconic legend. I also remember that for all the great things he did in sports, I mean, his legacy really of leaving things better than he, leaving the community better than he founded it, and all the money for eternity is going to be, you know, the, his name's on the hospital in Orlando and all the great things he did there. I mean, just on and off the golf course. He used to have this saying that, you know, people don't want to call golf a sport, but it's a lifestyle.
Mm.
And he
would return rental cars vacuumed out and filled the tank up, I heard. Like, that was just commonplace for him. He had dry cleaners. He had a whole line of dry cleaners. He got into that industry, right? I mean, there was a lot about him.
car dealerships, you know, Penn's oil franchises. It goes on and on and on. I mean, the book was written by him and Mark McCormick, who ended up founding IMG. Like they say, before there was Tiger and before there was Michael Jordan, there was Arnold Palmer. And he didn't need a morality clause in his stuff. I mean, he was down to earth. He cared about people, always wanted to make sure people felt good about being there and made them feel comfortable.
Good stuff there. Appreciate you calling in, Kyle. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for the time.
You got it. There's Kyle Ng over there. Work with Arnold Palmer. Hey, Arnold. Hey, Kyle, I want to hire you. Let's go start the Golf Channel. Why not? What a good idea. We'll have Paula Bovin at 10:50 now. She's at the Suns Media Day, so she's going to join us at 10:50. Let's break then here, so I have some space on ASU and U of A as well, because I watch both of them. And then just the craziness in college football, coaches being run. Got to work Vin Scully into this show, too, before we're done. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So on the college football weekend, the ASU game, I did not go. I watched. Eric was there and Jordan was there. And I don't need to go crowd into a press box, especially against Cal, where you knew the ball was going to fly all over the place. Were you impressed with ASU?
I'll use the Todd Graham analogy and say, hey, we're 4-0.
We're 4-0.
We're 4-0.
We're 4-0.
I'm going to quickly divert away from that question because I was thinking about you at the game. When they went to the fourth quarter and the score was 27-20, and I put out on Twitter, aha, Vegas, they finally got it wrong. The under is going to come in big time. And then the two teams combined to score, 48 points in the fourth quarter?
Although I thought ASU's defense in the fourth quarter made plays.
Much like you saw against Texas Tech.
Yeah.
A quarterback plays really well in the first half. Second half, not nearly as well.
Adjustments. They made some adjustments. I'd have to say that ASU is a pleasant surprise. How's that? And some may view that as a backhanded compliment. I'm not going to go over the top here. I'm not going to say, oh my gosh, why aren't they ranked? Oh, I can't believe they're not ranked. They're not that good yet.
And you know, in many ways, Brad, them going to USC is sort of like the Cardinals going to Buffalo. I mean, USC is a team that is in desperate need of a win. The schedule's been brutal. They lost a heartbreaker at Utah. And the Devils come in at 4-0. They might be playing with house money, but
USC stinks.
It's a winnable game. It's a very winnable game.
I think USC has some nice individual players.
Yep.
Some nice individual players that pass the all-eyeball test. A few of them are going to go on and play in the NFL. I take Adoree Jackson on my team.
Of course.
Okay, but it's not like I would take that roster. This is no team to fear. And add to that, good luck in the L.A. market. USC stinks, and the Rams are there now. So you know that the attendance, they're not going to have a full house.
No.
They're not going to have a full house on Saturday. It used to be that was the only game in town. So there's that. Lynn Swann is their AD, so I don't know. He may hire Terry Bradshaw as their next coach. Lynn Swann is an AD with Clay Helton sitting there spinning around. That looks like, if I'm USC, I've already called Les Miles. I've already sent my plane out to get Les Miles. I'm willing to say, hey, Les, come on out here, chew on the grass on the sideline here. We got great grass to chew on. You know, there's not a better candidate for USC than to today pull the plug. And for ASU, yes, sometimes during seasons, you have to be lucky. You have to catch teams at the right time. And Eric, I think you can go down the path of, desperate team in Buffalo. I would flip it around and say, I don't know if that team, watching them play up at Utah on Friday night, if they're all in on their coach, I don't know that. And we're also not talking about seasoned pros. We're talking about 18, 19, 20-year-olds that aren't used to losing. What does USC have to play for the rest of this season?
Well, and they had the big buildup to Alabama. And when you start the season playing on a neutral field and you get housed by Alabama and everyone is watching in week one, that sets sort of a precedence if your team is not mentally strong. And right now, this USC
team—they're
not mentally strong at all.
Well, and so you're going to go. We're going to hear the same old nonsense we hear every year. Are you looking forward to going back home and playing in front of your friends and family? We hear that angle every. It's a tired, dull, boring angle.
This is a big trip because ASU recruits a lot in Southern California.
Yeah, no, that's fair. It's fair. So. So they're walking in at 4-0. It doesn't matter that the teams that they've played, in my humble opinion, are not that good. The second half of Cal was one of the best halves of football I've seen out of Todd's team in a long time. You know, I know they beat U of A last year, but if we're to be very straightforward with one another, give me the last time that ASU played a complete game. They didn't play a complete game the other night. I thought Cal was going to score 80 on them the way it was going in the second quarter. And so the way that they finished the game, I think it's a step forward. It's progress for them. So here's Todd Graham on Saturday night after they beat Cal.
I'm going to tell you this. We're not going to face any tougher offenses. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we just faced number one and number two in the country. And so that's got to prepare us and help us. And you look all around the conference, man. This conference is a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, number one and number two offenses, that's fine. It's very fair. Toughen up the defense. I agree with Todd on that. I think the pleasant surprise, Chip Lindsey's come here, and Manny Wilkins has been more than serviceable. I was wrong. I thought for sure that they'd have to play both Brady White and Manny Wilkins, and they have not had to do that. I was wrong. If you look at the national landscape of teams that are 4-0 right now or undefeated, I'd have to say ASU is right there. Colorado's a surprise. Anybody who says Colorado's not a surprise, Colorado's a stunner. If I would have told you at the start of the season, boy, you got to circle that Colorado-ASU game in mid-October, you guys would have said, what are you smoking? I'm not in Colorado. It's kind of like Mike Norvell being undefeated at Memphis right now. That's a very good story for them. And I would put ASU right along in that. Baylor, to me, would have to be a surprise. All the stuff that happened there and to see where Baylor is, I don't care who they played. Wake Forest would have to be a surprise. San Diego State would have to be a surprise. So there's teams that you look at and say, all right, ASU is right there as a nice story at the end of September. But again, what have I seen during the Graham era? I want to see a team that gets better and better as the season progresses. They've hit the wall at times. At times, this team has hit the wall under Todd. And I think teams go through that, most of them. Like I DVR'd Stanford and watched them back yesterday. That's just a mentally tough team. That's all that is. That's just such a well-coached, well-designed team from top to bottom. And a team that made great catches all over the field. They made plays. And I thought ASU made some plays the other night.
And Stanford, Brad, is one of those teams that if you fall into their trap, the game is essentially over within the first couple quarters. I mean, UCLA hung with them. I was surprised. I didn't think that was going to be much of a game. But you saw it even dating back to when ASU played Stanford out here in the Pac-12 title game, and Everyone thought, oh, this ASU team, they're loaded at the skill positions. And Stanford took the ball, and they started running the ball, and they kept running the ball. And they got up 14, 17 points, and they took the air out of it, and their defense was so suffocating. They made ASU one-dimensional. That is why so many NFL teams are looking at David Shaw and being, yep, you're going to get here eventually. Maybe whenever you want to, but right now he's got a good thing going.
If you're LSU, okay, so I watched the end of the LSU game. I think most any sports fan saw the end of the LSU game.
I didn't see it, but I saw the highlights.
Whether or not it should be an untimed down or not, no, that's the rules of the game, okay? So Les Miles gets whacked, which if you get whacked after three games, that means that you were thinking about whacking him in the offseason. He probably should have just gone ahead and whacked him anyways and got him out of here. I know that he's won, and he's won on a big stage. You and I had this rant last week about, Les Miles done some great things, but you just don't feel like there's a commitment there to winning. Overarching on this, though, is Mark Helfrich is getting crushed up at Oregon. I mean, crushed. Fans want to change there.
Crazy to think that they were in the playoffs 2 years ago.
We saw Notre Dame fire their defensive coordinator the weekend. We saw Brian Kelly sit there and go up and down and on his loss to Duke and blame everybody but himself. Okay, so I'm going through the weekend of college football and I'm looking at it.
Duke playing on the road with their backup quarterback, by the way.
Yeah.
Sorry, that just shouldn't happen. Just shouldn't happen, but it does.
I watched the U of A game start to finish. And start to finish, Rich Rod is doing a hell of a coaching job down there with his third string running back. his backup quarterback, and Washington was finally tested. Washington hadn't played anybody. But you hear these guys out there, the national guys, all saying this coach is going to be in trouble, that coach is going to be in trouble. So Les Miles gets whacked. Who's the next guy that you look at and say, I think a guy like Clay Helton's got to be in trouble. He just has to be. Mark Helfrich in trouble? I don't know. If you lose to Washington this year, what is it, 13 years in a row, I think they beat him? So there was that. So then the college end of things, it's crazy what's going on out there in certain parts of the country. And here in our state, I'm pleased with where ASU is. I would call them a nice story, a pleasant surprise, and nothing more than that. From there, over to the Diamondbacks. So they stink. They were swept for the – how about this for a number? The Diamondbacks were swept for the 15th time this season in a series.
That's not even something we should laugh about.
It's like – we blow.
Golly.
15 series they've been swept. And when the season comes to an end and we write the narrative of this team, it's let's do by the numbers. And they play at Washington with Archie Bradley tonight. Vin Scully had his final weekend as voice of the Dodgers in Los Angeles. He has 3 games left in San Francisco next weekend, and that's it. So Scully, the tributes have been everywhere. The MLB Network carried his broadcast live. I grew up in Southern California. I was blessed to listen to Vin Scully growing up as a kid. I was blessed to visit and talk with Vin Scully as a young broadcaster. And Vin Scully is infinitely better than anybody I've ever heard do the sport of baseball, and it's not even close. This was Vin Scully with the Dodgers trying to wrap up their 4th straight National League West title. This would be his final call as a Dodger announcer after 60-plus years.
0-1 to Charlie. Swung on a high fly ball to deep left field. The Dodger bench empties. Would you believe a home run? And the Dodgers have clinched the division and will celebrate on schedule.
That's how you want to go out as a broadcaster, I would assume. I'm not going to be Vin Scully. I'm just going to be Brad. And I don't know when the end's going to come, when the microphone is taken away from me. It'll be when I'm dead. That's it. I'm going to do this as long as I'm living. I'm not going to be somebody that walks away from it. I'm never going to be close to a Vin Scully. But you can't script that the final call of the final home game of the legendary announcer Vin Scully at 88 years of age is a walk-off for the Dodgers to win the National League West title. He is not doing their playoff games because he said he doesn't want to be a distraction. And you could fly the helicopter in, you could do the limousine to think that the Dodgers or somebody with the organization hasn't come to him 100 times over and said, please come back and do a game, do the postseason. To think that the networks have not approached him to say, come back, let's do it. I saw over the weekend where on a much, much smaller scale, where tonight ESPN on halftime of Monday Night Football is moving forward. Remember, Monday Night Football at halftime was Howard Cosell with the highlights, right? At halftime, they're going to put Stephen A. and Max Kellerman on at halftime on tape for 12 hours to promote their show. So networks are looking for anything to fill in spaces and gaps. And I mean anything in that case. So to think that Vin Scully hasn't been called, approached by Fox, ESPN, MLB Network to do some postseason Dodger baseball, it's crazy. So he has 3 games left, all in San Francisco. He's done in Los Angeles. And that was a great, great part of the weekend. And otherwise tragic, just up and down weekend. I can't remember a weekend where there's been so many ups and downs. Paula Bovin is next. News and notes. She is live at the Suns, where it's media day today. My friend from AZ Central Sports, Paula Bovin, on the other side.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmatt.
Paula Bovin is live at the Suns and Media Day. Has anybody asked the players what their plans are for the national anthem?
You know, not specifically that, but someone just asked Jared Dudley how he felt about Colin Kaepernick's situation, and he said that, you know, one, it's a huge discussion among players, and two, he sounded very sort of supportive of what Kaepernick did, but so his only question is he wants to know what needs to be done for Colin to stand up, you know, what has to happen. So it was interesting, yeah.
No, that's a good question. I've not heard that question put back.
Yeah, I agree.
What is it you need to do to stand up then? What needs to happen? That's a good question. Actually,
yeah,
I thought that was too.
Yeah, I like that. I thought that was very sort of thoughtful of him. Yeah, it's very interesting here, Brad. I was just telling your fine producer, Eric Sorensen, off the air that it's, you know, Earl Watson obviously brings that kind of upbeat thing going all the time, but I have never seen Eric Bledsoe as talkative and as sort of positive and just chatty, you know? I mean, he's always been kind of a shy, more reserved guy, and, you know, we saw what he did in the off season with the arranging the whole trip to San Diego and stuff, but there is definitely a vibe there that I hadn't seen before. So very interesting.
I would, me being me, I would think that some people pulled him aside, sat him down and said, look, you want to be a face, you want to be one of the top players. You've been hurt quite a bit and you want this team to be yours, not Devin Booker's or anybody else's. Go act like it. I agree.
And I think that, you know, sometimes you can see that's happened and it doesn't always translate to authenticity or it's like fake, but there was definitely a realistic thing going on with him. So that was kind of interesting.
All right. Anybody else down there that catches your eye today?
Well, you know, I was listening to Dudley talk and I mean, we know that there's been leadership issues on this team in the past couple of years. And, you know, as much as, those brothers, Marquise and Marcus.
I miss
as
them.
As talented as they were.
I miss
yeah,
them so much.
I know. I miss for the storyline.
Yeah.
But the leadership issue is definitely a problem. And the things that Jared was just saying about, you know, making sure all the, you know, young guys don't get, like, too clicky. And I think that's a problem sometimes with teams. Your buddies on the team, like Booker and they get clicky. So he's talking really specifically about how he's going to handle things and very vocal. And I know that's, you know, one of the big reasons they brought him. But to hear him put it into words was pretty interesting, too.
All right. So we'll have plenty of time to talk about them. Let's go through the weekend. And you know, I'm sitting here today with the death of Jose Fernandez, the passing of Arnold Palmer. I got Vin Scully's final game. I've got ASU doing what they did. I've got U of A, I think, putting up a good fight. I've got the Cardinals stinking in Buffalo. You know, where do you want to go on this? What's in your wheelhouse right now?
Well, I guess a couple things. I mean, you know, the losses and the endings, that was a theme, right? This weekend, the Fernandez story really got me just because of how young he was and how much he sacrificed. And, you know, listen, Arnold Palmer, that's a really sad story, but you can kind of celebrate his life and everything else. Fernandez thing just made me really sad, you know, just because he was such a role model for so many people. So there's that, but on the sort of, you know, X's and O's and more sports-specific side, Brad, I was really surprised that ASU has opened up the season 4-0. I mean, they may not be the prettiest 4-0 team in the country and maybe one of the more ugly ones, but they're 4-0. That
right.
Surprised me.
They're a nice surprise. That's how I term them this morning. They're a nice story. They're a nice surprise. They're not a top 25 team yet. I'm not going to get all wound up about that. But, you know,
sure.
I'd have to say, if you look at national surprises, Paula, Colorado would have to be one. Mike Norvell's undefeated. Yeah. What Todd has done here, I think that's a nice surprise, a nice story. And to that end, they go to USC this weekend. USC stinks. It's a place where they go recruit. There'll be a lot of kids going back home. We see those storylines every year. I don't think the Coliseum is going to have more than, 50,000 now that the NFL's out there. Fans aren't going to support a loser in Southern California. You and I both know that. So they're coming into USC at the perfect time, I think. I don't see this as a trap game or anything with UCLA the following week.
No, but I think it'll be very hard, Brad, for ASU to win this game. I just feel like SC has at least one game in them where they're going to bust out. They're going to be at home. and for all their problems, they still have a lot of really, really talented players on that team, simply because they recruit so well. So I think this is going to be a tough one for ASU. If they pull this off, then I'd be really, really impressed. But I just think this is going to be a tough one for them.
If you're Lynn Swann, do you make a diving catch in the Super Bowl? No, I'm just kidding. If you're Lynn Swann, because now you're the athletic director, you go get Les Miles right now, right? Don't you just pick up the phone and then just make this happen? Doesn't that make
I would make the call right now.
Today!
Make the call right now. You know, I was just thinking this morning, how much of this is a want-to job as it used to be, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is necessarily one where Les Miles would go. I'm not going to listen to anything else because he's going to be courted from every different direction. But it's there's a lot of money, obviously, they throw around. They recruit well. But I think he's just seen lately that it's maybe there's a little more challenge than he thought. So I'd be very, very curious to see if they go after Les Miles and how he responds.
All right, over to the Cardinals. So they have this series called All or Nothing that they basically put out there and told us all about, and so far it's been nothing. It's not been all.
Yes.
And so you want to keep reminding us of All or Nothing, having it there on your backdrop. You might want to just pull that down and put your little Cardinal backdrop there because it's not been good. That said, if I would have told you that Cameron Kennedy would be a guy that we'd be looking at and saying, what is the deal with a long snapper three games into the season, and they're 1-2, I'm not going to lay all this at the feet of Carson. I'm not. But clearly to me, Carson, and he's been my hot button this offseason, I don't see him getting any younger, and he looks like he's getting a little slower. What do you see out of 1-2 in Carson?
Yeah, that was this game more than, the playoff game against Carolina. There are a lot of factors going into that, the stage, the competition, everything else. And, Buffalo is a good team and a good defense, but, some of his throws, they were late. It just seemed off. It was really strange, and I don't think you lose as much as it appeared he lost in this one game from just one year to the next. But it does make you wonder what's going on. It's such an interesting thing for me because I cover a lot of colleges, and so a lot of times these kind of games you can explain to youth. He's 18, he's 19, but these guys are 30 and 28 and 26, and a lot of them weren't playing well, and it is a really bizarre phenomenon for me to try to explain, to be honest. It's just odd.
And part of the NFL, though, is it's the end of September. I'm not wound up about this. I've seen plenty of 6-6 teams in mid-November that get hot. It is the war of attrition, just trying to keep everybody on the right side of the street. So, the panic and the yelling and the screaming, the gnashing of teeth, the nasty emails, tweets, and all that stuff, that's just going to happen. That's part and parcel of the league. But you know this, Paul, fans do want somebody to blame. They want somebody to blame after every game. So today it's Arian's fault and it's Carson's fault and it's nobody else. And I'd say, I don't know, if I looked over at the defense, they weren't very good. And Buffalo stinks. I don't care how you put this. That game was still a game with a minute and a half to go and should have been over 10 times, and it was still a game. They just couldn't put them away.
Yeah. No question. I mean, there's plenty of blame to share. It's obviously, I think they need to come back strong against the Rams. I think they will, and I don't think this is panic time at all. Obviously, you don't want two losses this early in the season. But you look at their division. I mean, they can survive this. They've just kind of got to figure out what's going on. And Carson Palmer, more than anyone, he's like the point guard. He needs to figure it out and he needs to get it right. And they still have a lot of crazy good talent on that team. I mean, my God, that Peterson, I think it was Patrick Peterson's interception.
Yeah.
There are some things I was watching in that game going, this team is just, athletically phenomenal. So, yep, they got to get it right though.
Are you watching the debate tonight?
I will, yes, as much as I can tolerate of it, but I want to. Yep.
So Vegas, just before I let you go, Vegas, of course, because they're Vegas, has prop bets tonight around the debate. The top three terms are email. Email's number one. The over-under is 7.5 mentions of email as the number one prop bet. The number two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the number two is deport, the word deport. And the number three is liar. The over-under on the word liar being used tonight. This is in Vegas. I love this. This is because now I actually have a drinking game tonight while I'm watching. It might be an Arnold Palmer out of respect. I don't know.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Yeah. But,
like a highball, but instead of
Sure.
Yeah.
So email.
I like it.
Email, deport, and liar. Those are the three words tonight to play along with.
I'm glad I'll be counting them, yeah.
All right. See you later. Get back to it.
All right, Brad. Bye.
There. It's Paula Bovin at the Suns. The word racism, over under 2.5 mentions. Wall Street, 3.5. Each candidate's foundation, 4. Now, I wonder if Jimmy set these lines, Eric. That would be, that's pretty good. How do you get half a mention, though? When it's 4.5 mentions, what's a half a mention of the word liar? Or well, five and a half?
They just said it like that, so there's no push. That's all the half means.
5.5.
Yeah. They don't want to say 5 and then it be 5 and hit Vegas doesn't win money and you don't win money.
So if you say lot, you leave out the er, doesn't matter.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
I don't. That's a Vegas call, but
Vegas. That's got to be great. Just sit around, throw darts and say, "Let's come up with stuff around the debate."
I mean, it would make the debate even more entertaining than we all think the debate is already going to be.
I'm going to 100 million people are watching this debate tonight. So I am going to have my bets out and be on Twitter.
So what is the Monday night game that no one is going to watch with the
New Orleans
on?
Atlanta?
No one would probably watch that anyway unless you're a diehard NFL fan.
And it's the 10-year anniversary of Katrina, and I have Matt Ryan as my fantasy quarterback. We're down by 20. So I do have a reason.
Okay.
I have a reason.
And 20 points is attainable.
And we have Mark Ingram, who stinks. So there you go. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website. High school, college, pro, college, high school makes no difference to us. Things that we see in the valley across the state, even some national stuff as well that we do. Tomorrow on the show, Peter King, Michael Fabiano, and whatever. We're going to have some post, and Chip Lindsey too tomorrow. We'll have some post debate topic stuff to kick around. Have yourself a great day.